Today's share in the Dear Shu Mishnah Berurah Yomi program is Daf Kuf Chav Tes Amud Aleph. We are in the third volume of Mishnah Berurah in Simon Shin Tes Zayin. And we are in the middle of Siv Zayin. We started Siv Zayin yesterday, and Yitzchem will finish it today. This deals with the dinim of trapping and the differences between a parosh, a flea, and a kina, a louse. And we explained yesterday some of the differences. The parosh is a black jumping type of an insect, a flea, and the kina is a white stationary type of insect. And there are halachic differences between what you can do. The flea, you are allowed to trap only if it is going to sting you or hurt you, but you're not allowed to kill it. And today we'll learn, however, that for the kina, you are allowed to do both of these. So the Mechaber begins on the very top line of Kuf Chav Tes Amud Aleph, Aval kina, but the louse, mutter lahargar. A person is allowed to go and kill it on Shabbos. The Mishnah Berurah in Sivkot and Mem explains that b'chol makum shemotza, you are allowed to kill the louse in any place that you find it. This is true bein al besoro, when it's directly on the flesh, or even o al bigodav, even if it's not directly on the flesh, it's on your clothing. Derek mikra, it just happens to be there, you are allowed to kill it. As opposed to yesterday, we said the only time you're allowed to go and trap the flea, the parosh, is if it's directly on the skin, although there was one opinion that says if it's on your garment and it's about to or potentially going to sting you, then you'd be allowed to go and flick it away as well. In any event, for the kina, this is permissible. Mishnah Berurah Sivkot and Mem Aleph explains you can even go and kill it. Hatam kenitz kor liel. The reasoning is, as we already explained in yesterday's shir, because it doesn't really fulfill the definition of netilas neshama like the re'aim, like the rams that were used in the Mishkan, that they needed to be killed. So we learned out from there that anything that procreates like those rams, it has period of arivia, so they're included in the din of Netilas Neshama. As we pointed out yesterday, share at some length, the kinim and the parosh both do not have eggs, at least that are visible, and don't procreate in the normal zohar nekeva egg situation. However, they do on a microscopic level, as we know, and therefore, since they have a different status to them, there is no din of Netilas Neshama in regards to the kina, and one is allowed to kill it. The Mishnah Berurah continues and he writes, Urumasim shehaviyosun min haglolim, and you have these other types of insects over here that are, so to say, coming from the dung, umin haperos shehavishu, and from fruits that have rotted, v'chayosben, and other sorts of situations like this where the item that they're coming out of is essentially destroyed or rotted. Kigon toloim, for example, worms or insects that come out of the basar, that's decaying flesh, v'hatoloim shebesoch hakitnios, or you have various types of worms that are inside various types of beans or legumes, hahargun potter, v'osmi derabbanan. In all of these situations, there is no issa deraisa to kill them, however, there remains the issa derabbanan that we spoke about yesterday as well. This is as opposed to, the Mishnah Berurah says, Avo remosim, shein parim v'ravim, mizachur nekeba. But the types of crawling creatures over here that do in fact have normal period of arivia recognizable from a male and female and from eggs, or alternately, shevyosim in ha'ofor, kimoha paroshim, or that they don't have necessarily recognizable zachur nekeba, their eggs are microscopic, but they come from the ground, they essential existence comes min ha'ofer from the dirt, kamoha paroshim, like the fleas that we spoke about yesterday. So in these situations, the Rambam writes, ha'horgon chayev, one who kills them is chayev, and it's a deraisa chayev achatos. The Mishnah Berurah further points out, v'davka ha'toloim shenishavu min ha'peros achar shenitlashu. That which we said, it's not an issa deraisa, it's only a potter avalosa situation. If you kill the various types of insects that we just spoke about earlier in the Mishnah Berurah, he says that's only if they came from fruits that decayed, but the fruits were already uprooted from the tree. However, aval oson hagdelim beperos bimechubar, but those insects that are growing inside the fruits when they're still attached to the tree, when they're still mechubar, so then, yesh ben issa deraisa l'horgan, then those insects have the halachic status of being forbidden to be killed on a deraisa level. Because these are called, the Mikri Mishnah Berurah says, sheretz gomer. They have the full halachic status of being a sheretz, and this is the opinion of the Magen Avraham, as explained, lefi ma'ashibero ha'pri megodim. The Mishnah Berurah himself says in his commentary, the Bir Halacha, or Bir Halacha, the Chofetz Chaim writes, Berarti, I explain further, the Haptur Miperos Tulushin, that which we said it's not a Chiv Doraisa, is when we were talking about when the fruits were detached from the trees, that's only if these insects grew, Davko Kishinis Havu, Achar Shinis Avshu, only if the insects came out over here after the fruit had already spoiled. The issue footnote 74 brings down an additional important point. He says, Umishis orer mitok shinoso machma zimzum yitush. If a person wakes up from his sleep, he's aroused from his sleep by the buzzing over here of various insects. Shinotsar me ifush haperos vaglolim, that they came into being from the spoiled fruits or from dung. And in his person, as he's waking up, vihiko vahargo, and he, as he wakes up, he pushes them away and he kills them. So the Shelus Tshuvas Leiv Chaim says that this person has not done anything that requires a kapara. Eino tzarech kapara. We know that if a person does something unintentionally, he still sometimes has to bring a carbon. If you unintentionally went and transgressed an isser of karbis, you have to bring a carbon chatas, etc. So therefore, in this situation, even though you did something that's wrong, you don't require a kapara. Why not? Because technically there is no isser over here, certainly not isser deraisa, to go and kill these insects that came from this spoiled food. Elohim came miskabi lahargon. The only time there's an isser over here is if you intended to kill them. Mashen King Khan here, when this person was sleeping, he didn't realize what he was doing as he woke up. Shiko kimis asik lasiru mitoch bilbul hashina. He's waking up, he doesn't realize what he's doing, so therefore there is no isser over here. Likewise, he doesn't need a kapara. The person is awoken by one of these fleas that's on him. And as he's waking up, he's still half asleep, and he kills the insect. Before he realizes, hey, it's Shabbos, I'm not supposed to do this. So since his whole purpose of it was not to get stung, so the Kaf HaChaim writes, he's likewise not in need of any kapara. Eino tzarech kapara. In any event, the Mechaber continues and he writes, V'hamefale begodov mikinim. If somebody goes and tries to remove the kinim, the lice, from his clothing, lo yahargem. He has to be very careful not to go and kill the lice when he removes them from his clothing. What should he do? Elamolulon biyodo. He can sort of say, crush them in his hands, rub them in his hands, vizarkon, and toss them off the clothing. However, aval hamepale rosho, mutar lahargem. But if he's removing these kinim over here, these slices from his head, then he's even allowed to go lechatchila and kill them. So we see a distinction according to the Mechaber, that if the kinim are on your clothing, you shouldn't kill them, although you're allowed to get rid of them. But if they're on your hair, you're allowed to actually go and kill them. The Mishnah Berura in Sivkot Mem Beis explains, the kivin shemitzuyim shom paroshim. Since on clothing, there is often not only these kinim, which one is technically allowed to kill, but they also have the fleas. In addition to the lice, you also have fleas. And therefore, the fleas, as we pointed out in yesterday's year, the beginning of this sif, you're not allowed to kill them. So therefore, the rabbis over here said, don't kill the kinim that are on your clothing, because gazrina shema yaharo gam kein paroshim, because you may come to kill the fleas as well, which is not allowed. However, the Mishnah Berurah continues, he says, you're allowed to throw them in water. He brings us down the name of the Mogen Avram. There is no problem, because you're only, at best, indirectly causing their death. The issue foot number 76 adds over here, the Alpha Pisha Dinon Kemuktsa, even though technically one could argue that these lice are Muktsa, so he brings down from the Prima Godim in the Mishmal Zav, and also from the Tila Lodavid, Shekivon Shemu'uso, saying since they're disgusting, Nechshevos Hein Kigraf Shori, they have the status of being like a chamber pot filled with dung, with excrement, Shemutu Latautlo, which you are allowed to somewhat paradoxically move because it's so disgusting. Therefore, Ulufikach Mutu Lasira Mi Begodu Biyado, they may be considered Muktza to a certain extent, but they also have the status of being a Graf Shori, and you're allowed to get rid of them from your clothing because they are disgusting to you, even though they're not technically hurting you or bothering you. He says, Ulagabi Hotza Zvuv Mi Michael, taking a fly out of food. So the Chazon Ish says, Sha'afapisha Zvuv Muktzahu, even though again you have the same problem, the Zvuv is considered Muktza, nevertheless he says you're allowed to remove it from your food. Why? Kivan Shapula Zu Eino Nechsheves Ketiltala Muktza, because we don't really view this as moving Muktza, Elo, we view it as Elo Ketikan Ha'ochel Bavat. We view this over here as if you're fixing the food and not as if you're touching and removing the muktza item, the fly. The Mishnah Berurah goes on and he further explains over here and he says, why are you allowed to throw the fly into water over here? So he brings down the hariga gufa eino ela gezeira. The whole problem over here that you're not allowed to kill the kin in the first place is because you may by accident kill a parush. And he says, this would essentially over here is a gzeira, velo gazru bazeh, and the rabbis did not make a gzeira over here in regards to putting it into water. However, avo beparoshim, but with the fleas, the yeshbem chashash daraisa osur gam bazeh. But here, if you're dealing with fleas, where there is a potential issa daraisa of killing them, so then you're not allowed to throw them in the water, the hukimo hariga mamish, because that is no different than actually killing them directly with your hands. The Mishnah Berurah continues, and he says, "Lo yikach odom hakinim me'oros shu'olim v'chadome." A person is not allowed to take the lice from a hide or a fur that he has that is from a fox or any other animal, because mishum shum and not take minat semer, because he's going to take off a little bit of the wool over here. When he pulls off the lice, levi psikresha, and this removal of the wool is an iser of gozes, of shearing, and one is not allowed to shear even from a hide, from a pelt, from a fur, even if it's not attached to the animal any longer. So therefore, when you remove the louse, you're going to possibly remove some of the tsemer with it, some of the wool, some of the fur with it, and that will be a psikresha of gozes. The issue foot number 77 brings down interesting other scenarios with insects. He brings down the imitsuyim zavuvim. If you find flies or other insects, besoch halal aslas besakile, with inside the toilet bowl, upsik reisha shiyamusu, and it will certainly be a absolute guarantee that they will die, kish tefeno b'mayim, when you flush the toilet. So he brings down from Dayan Weizatzal in the Shelus Tshuvas Minchas Yitzchok, shemikol mako mutu lohorid esamayim b'shabbos, you'd be allowed to flush the toilet on Shabbos, even though the insect will undoubtedly die as a result. Why are you allowed to do this? Because you have no interest in killing them over here. And you're just considered a person who's doing something, and by the way, something else happened. And you certainly don't have any benefit. You don't need the insects to die. You just want them away from you. And if you weren't to flush the toilet, you'd have all the waste in the toilet. That would be a tremendous chisarin and kavod habrios. That would be a tremendous lack in human dignity. Therefore, he paskins that you are allowed to flush the toilet, even though the insects will be flushed down and die. And this is also the opinion of Rav Ozer Zatzal in the Shevet Alevi. And he adds another reason. He says, She'ein ze psik reisha, shiyamusu azuvim. He says, number one, it's not a psik reisha that they will die as you flush the toilet. And he says, even if they do die, it's only a grumma. You're indirectly causing their death from the water, but not directly. Because they don't die immediately. Shari Yitokin, it's certainly very possible, Shalo Yamusu Vizem Arishon, they don't necessarily die the first second that the water is flushed and they start going down the drain. El Arak Besheni, it may only come in the second, so to say, flow of water. And he says, in addition, Yesh Lutzarif Lazez Dasa Rashba, you can add to this idea that which the Rashba said, which is brought down the Shaar HaTzion, Shemutu Lasos Pu'ulas Heter, a person is permitted to do something which is permissible under normal circumstances, the Rogil Adon Lasoso Beloshin Asis Melocha, and a person does this normally without necessarily doing anything wrong, At Im Bimikra Misuyam Mispatsas Melocha Shalom Yitzono, even though sometimes the result will come out that isn't his intention. So therefore, you want to flush the toilet, you're not interested in necessarily flushing away the insects, and therefore it's permissible. And he concludes, he says, "Mikol makom, in efshel lahorid samayim b'zerem cholash, if you can have the water come out with a lower force and it doesn't automatically kill the flies immediately, he says that is preferable. On the other hand, you have the opinion of Rav Nissen Karlitz Shlita, and he says, "Ein lahatir lahorid samayim, you're not allowed to flush the toilet in this situation, unless ela b'makom shicholim azuvim levroach." If the toilet will start to, so to say, make noises, and the flies will recognize this and know that the toilet's going to, so to say, flush them down in a minute, and they'll fly away, so then in this fashion, it would be permitted. Otherwise, it's not permitted to flush the toilet. Why can you flush it if they're going to fly away? Because you have no intention of killing them, and it's not a psik resha. They probably will fly away, and if they don't, you're not over an isser. The issue footnote number 78 brings down, why are we only concerned about gozes a moment ago? We weren't concerned about borer. When you're pulling off the louse from the fur, why is that not a concern of borer? So he brings down from Shlomo Zalman Zatzal, Shalo noheg borer bezeh, there is no iser borer over here, mipnei shenikuyav shel dovar, when you're cleaning something that normally gets dirty and you constantly have to clean it over and over, eino nechshav kamaise borer, that's not called borer. Instead, such an action is just called cleaning. And he adds further, Shemitam zeh mutul lifalos kinim min habegadim umin hasaros. Therefore, a person is allowed to remove the lice from his clothing or from his beard. And so too writes Rav Eliashiv Zatzal in regards to removing food from one's beard that's left in his beard. He says, your intention over here is to clean your beard and not to pick out something from it. Therefore, it is permitted. The issue foot number 79 says, in regards to removing the louse from the wool or the fur, so he brings down that this iser over here is gozes, shearing, applies even if it's no longer attached to the animal. After the animal is dead and after the hide has been flayed, the fur is off the animal, there still is an iser over here of shearing. And therefore he cautions that people who wear fur they have to be very careful that they don't pull off any of the threads of the fur, any of the fur itself, because there would be an issur of gozes, of shearing, in this situation, even though, obviously, the fur is removed from the animal. Finally, we go to Mishnah Berurah Sivkot Mem Gimel, where the Mishnah Berurah explains that the Mechaber said, you're allowed to remove the lice from your hair and kill them. He says, the barosh eino motzi paroshim, because there's no concern over here that there are fleas on the head, you only have the lice. And with the lice, there is no concern about killing them. V'lo shayach ligzor bishvilam. And since you're only dealing with kinim over here and not the paroshim, there is no reason for the rabbis to say, gzera, you can kill the lice because you may kill the fleas because there are no fleas there. He then adds from the Taz, because of a Taz, du adin bimefale al besoro. Likewise, if you're picking off the kinim from your flesh, you can also kill them. Because likewise there, the sham gamkein eino motzoi shiachapes achar paroshim. There you won't find any fleas as well. It's purely lice. The low gozru bazeh kin b'mafales begodah. And the only time, in fact, the rabbis made exer over here that you can't kill the kinim because you may come to kill a flea, the parosh, that's only talking about a situation kiim b'mafales begodah, when you're removing the lice from clothing. With that, we conclude today's shiur.